Instant notoriety. Bruce Harreld, new to Iowa and the University of Iowa, but generating news. A conversation with the University of Iowa's new president, Bruce Harreld, on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network. The availability of high-speed broadband service is essential to fulfilling the promise of a connected Iowa. ICN's Broadband Matters campaign showcases the importance of delivering broadband to all corners of Iowa. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com. Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
The Arlene McKeever Endowment Fund at the Iowa Public Television Foundation, a fund established to support local programming on Iowa Public Television.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, November 13 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
There's very little Iowa nice in Bruce Harreld's first days this month as the University of Iowa's new president. That is, if we're judging by sign-carrying protesters demanding that he resign. They're contending, perhaps even fearing, that his experience is in business, not traditional academic administration. President Harreld's resume does include corporate leadership in Kraft Foods, Boston Market, and IBM, but also 6 years on Harvard University's business school faculty and as an adjunct professor at Northwestern's Kellogg Management School. And in a letter to the University of Iowa community, he says higher education is facing diminishing government support and questions about its value. But he also sees the University of Iowa going from what he calls great to greater. President Harreld, welcome to Iowa Press. Welcome to Iowa.
Thank you, Dean. Good to be here.
And I know that you've moved into your office, but the president's residence you haven't moved into yet.
No, it'll be quite some time. I've come to learn we take these periods between presidents to repair the house. It's gone about a decade now without any major work. We've got water coming down on the third floor of the house. We have a small river running down in the basement. I was talking to one of the former presidents, Sandy Boyd, a few weeks ago, and we ended up talking about it. Then he said, "Oh yeah, I remember that water because I had a whole collection of presidential books, and some of them got ruined."
With winter coming on, you can be glad you're out there.
Thank you very much.
And across the Iowa Press table, James Lynch, who writes for the Gazette, published in Cedar Rapids, and Radio Iowa's news director, Kay Henderson.
When you were hired, the phrase "make the great greater" was uttered with great frequency.
Yes.
What does that mean? Are you talking about the students? Are you talking about the faculty? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about everything. But let's back up for a moment. The overall rankings for the University of Iowa from 2004 to 2016 this year, we've dropped 25 ranks. And if you look at faculty compensation, we've dropped 26 ranks. That's beginning to form the boundaries of a lot of this conversation. Now, fortunately, if you also take a look at the same data, it says that our peer reputation, when peers evaluate us, it's much stronger. So our brand and historical reputation is solid, so it's recoverable, but we need to get to work here.
Dean alluded to this in his introduction, but how intimidating is it to start a job and be met with protesters asking for or demanding your resignation? And how do you get beyond that rocky start to make the great greater?
Good question, James. It's not fun. But on the other hand, if I hadn't gotten so much support from so many other members of the faculty, members of the administration, even alumni outpouring, then I think it would be a lot harder. How do you get beyond it? Well, I've been reaching out for the last several weeks, one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-four, with a number of faculty members. saying, let's just talk. And I shared with him a little bit of the data that I just shared here a moment ago and said, what's going on? And when you open that door, many, in fact, almost all of the faculty members, even some who are part of the protesters, I've met with some of them as well, they will admit that we've got issues, and they're saying, well, are you going to get behind working on this? Of course, that's the reason I raised the issue.
What are those issues, if they're identifying issues?
Well, I just gave you one, quite frankly, Dean, which is the issue of faculty compensation. Faculty compensation has lost 26 ranks. We're now not even in the top 100. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, when you open that door with faculty, they will say, you know, it's really interesting, but we're losing faculty members here to other peer schools in the Big Ten and beyond, University of North Carolina and others. And so they're sort of cherry-picking us. And then secondly, we're having a hard time replacing them. So there's a whole system here that is a little bit out of whack.
Well, if you're talking about you know, salaries, and you're talking to faculty, and you say they need to be improved, I can see why is rapport. But let me ask, when I heard you in the public forum making your public statement before the questions were asked, which were very intimidating there, you said that culture is an impediment to institutional change. And you said at that time that people say, well, we don't do that here. Mm-hmm. And that's an impediment to change.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks later, at a faculty senate meeting, mm-hmm. I heard someone stand up and make this statement, it's our culture and he's not going to steal it from us.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to effect change at the University of Iowa when you have that difference in philosophies?
Dean, you just put your finger on a very important issue, and without giving a several-hour lecture on this issue, let me back up, if I may. Culture, I believe, is one of the most powerful control systems in any organization. So it actually, at the core, it determines how we behave. You can feel a culture when you walk into a new organization. We've all done that. And you say, this is how people behave, and this is how we dress, and we don't raise these questions, don't deal with these issues. Or we do deal with these issues. So culture is there, and it's impacting all organizations. Secondly, it can be used to your advantage. To the extent that you actually can get people talking, working on things that are important for the future, then you can actually unwind all this and start getting a lot of energy moving in a positive direction. Having said that, culture, if you don't deal with it, organizations, as they become excellent, it's almost a perverse piece of behavior. It's almost insidious. My work says that the better an organization is, the more its culture actually replicates what made it so successful in the past. They start hiring people like that made them successful, and so they start measuring things that are of the past. And as the world changes around them, they're almost blinded and blocked by the ability to lift themselves out of that environment. Now, how do you get out of it? Part of it is opportunity for leadership change. In some organizations, they have crises, and they are confronted with their own existence. We're not even close to that. But the other thing you do is start raising, say, let's have a conversation. What is the data? What are our metrics? How do we evaluate how we're doing? As you have those conversations, people start inspecting the culture. And as you start taking actions, next piece of the lecture is, culture comes from leaders' actions. To the extent that we actually start working on different things, and I show tangible, not just talking, but actual tangible support for some of these issues and fixing them, then people will start coming back to the party and say, we need to move on. And that's the process that we've just begun.
Speaking of leadership change, there's been a leadership change at the University of Missouri after protests on the Columbia campus. What have you learned about that situation? That president had a similar background to yours, came from the business community.
Yes, he did. I think the most important thing is all these communities, I've been meeting with a number of communities, including the African-American community on our campus. They need to feel included, and they need to feel progress against their issues. And that's true for all communities. And so if there's a process, if I don't engage in that dialogue personally and somehow say we don't have money or we don't have this, don't have time or have other priorities, then we're going to have issues. To the extent that we listen, we learn. I was just with some yesterday in this community, and I said, hey, we need a short-term and a long-term plan. Picking on my background, I said, I'm open for business. Please come forward. I'm going to meet with them again in the next few weeks.
Going back to Missouri, Was that the right decision made at that time? Should he have stepped down?
I have no idea. I don't understand the specifics. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback on something like that.
Well, let me ask. But there was pressure from the athletic football team.
Correct.
Saying we won't play unless you do step down. That tells me that athletics plays a big, powerful part in the university.
In that university, it doesn't mean in all universities. I've also met with our team, I actually, on different issues. I don't think you can go from Missouri to the University of Iowa or to any other school. On the other hand, are athletes important and leaders on campus? Absolutely. Have I met with them and asked them to lead? And by the way, we have a series of situations. I've looked at the team and said, I need your help on certain things. Can they play a role positively? Absolutely. Can they play a role negatively? Absolutely.
What have you asked them to do?
I met with them on the first day and asked them, I said, we've got an issue here on our campus safety. It's been going on for quite a while. I'm not going to give you the lecture about your behavior, but I know people turn to you. You see things, you're engaged in the community, that's important. But as you see something and it isn't right, step in and take action here, please. And as they say, I've met with a lot of groups like that in my career. They weren't looking at the shoes. They were, as they say, eyes on. Which I take as a pretty positive sign of our culture, that they know their role and they're prepared to take a leadership action.
Another proposal that you've made is for a faculty vitality initiative, and you've talked about using a $4.5 million special state funding request. What will that look like? What will faculty vitality look like? And are you getting buy-in from the faculty? Are they eyes on this?
Well, I already described where we are in terms of the ranking. That's the issue that we're dealing with.
Vitality is salaries.
Vitality has to do with how do we keep the best, recruit the best, and actually give them the resources they need to do the best work in class and in research. All this is a bundle. So it isn't just compensation. It has to do with support monies to bring guests onto campus, guest lecturers, to do smaller pieces of research. So there's a whole set of issues in here. The faculty, first of all that I've met with about 60 at this stage, all of them believe it's a very important issue. As I said, it opens a floodgate of, we are being rated, we are having a hard time backfilling. Now then, having said that, so this the money I've asked for is specifically completely targeted at that and nothing else. Now, then, we do need to do our homework, and we're just starting that. So by college, I've asked the deans through our provost to actually lay out by tenure track level, we have three levels, by each of the departments, where are we competitively with our peer groups in each of those cells. And I've seen some of the original data, and I've said, hey, let's color code the data so that red says we are in the bottom third. Green says we're in the top. I'll just tell you the one chart that I've taken a look at says we got an awful lot of red on that.
Let me speak about competition.
Please.
And go on to another. You also, in that presentation that I referenced earlier, as you originally came to the University of Iowa, before you were hired, you portrayed community colleges as one of the university's competitors.
Yeah.
Now, there's been a move in recent years among the Regents and universities to more closely cooperate and provide a seamless transition from community colleges to the university. What is it? Are they competitors? Is there competition, or are they partners?
Well, if you don't partner and don't sit down and have communications, don't understand how you can share and help enable one another. A lot of their students become students for us, and so the stronger their programs are, the more we can help with their programs, the better those students are. If you don't sit down and have a cooperation, they become competitors really quickly. So in my former industry, we love to make up words, and the word we made up was coopetition. And so if you're not careful, that balance can get out of whack. I actually do believe it is healthier here than it has been. I think we have room to improve it.
Okay. At the legislature, the U of I has come under greater and greater scrutiny. In the past year, there were legislators who questioned why state taxpayers were spending so much on an institution that educated out-of-state students. How do you plan to answer that question when legislators pose it to you?
Well, let's back up and get the I'm a data freak. Let's get the data right, which is over half our students are, in fact, from the state of Iowa. So that's the first point. And I actually believe that part of the issue here, and let me go around the corner to make this point, which is that we've been under attack because we're a classic liberal arts institution. And the world has said, what are the outcomes? And you need to prepare people for jobs. And by the way, you have courses where there are no jobs left in our society anymore. How could you ever possibly do that? I think we need to go back to where all this started. And in many ways, on the back of our quarters in the state quarter is a schoolhouse. And we used to say it was all about the three R's, right? And that, in some sense, is the beginning of preparing people for a lifelong journey. And it wasn't like, how many of us, even here in this conversation, have had one job and we could have predicted when we were 22 years old what that job was and get trained for it? That isn't life. Life is a series of journeys. And part of the journey for really successful, fully functioning members of our society, I believe, is learning how to critically think and train yourself. I'm going through a massive re-education right now of this whole environment we've been talking about. So learning how to learn, and if I may, one other piece, I've had fun with this, but one of the members in our College of Liberal Arts and Sciences says, hey, do you know what the number one college major is for LSAT score, the law school test? And I don't know if you don't, and I won't, embarrass you all. I'm going to tell you. It's philosophy. Number one, year in, year out. What's number two on the business school exam, the GMAT exam? It's philosophy. By the way, if you look for number two and three, you also will see that they're classic liberal arts programs. So might it be that our role really is to prepare people for a lifelong journey of being a full citizen and gainful employment, being happy in their lives and lifting themselves continually up? That's what I think we're all about. And I'm pretty excited about making an impact and improving that.
Jim? There's also been a great debate among legislators and the Board of Regents about redirecting more money toward Iowa State University and the University of Northern Iowa. Do you support that approach?
Well, it depends on the specifics. I don't have the specifics. It's hypothetical. Let me say this. I'm going to fight for every penny I can get at the federal and state level, and I'm going to be loud. I will be full force into that. I actually just today met with some of our state legislators and made that quite clear. On the other hand, I was asked at the town meeting, a hypothetical from one of our faculty members, and the hypothetical was, could I ever imagine a situation where those other two schools in the state need it more than us? Yes, I can imagine a flood for them, God forbid, whatever it might be. I can imagine scenarios. The regents are in a very difficult role here. They've got to allocate scarce resources across some very needy schools, and we need to all participate in that. I will fight for more than my share, and be proud of it in the process.
Well, let me ask it this way: would you see Iowa State and you and I as partners or as competitors?
Oh, I think it depends whether we sit down and have the conversation that we need to have. And so
equivocating.
No, I'm not equivocating. I'm answering your question, which is if we don't sit down and have a real serious conversation about how we can do things together better for the state, shame on us.
Okay. Jim?
Speaking of Iowa State and you and I, what's the best advice you've received from President Stephen Leith at Iowa State and Bill Rude over at you and I?
They're actually different. Bill has actually sent me some data that I really found interesting about the history of the state funding for higher education that really informed. And by the way, Bill also sent me in that data, you would see that, while it may look like I'm picking on Iowa, Iowa is actually right in the middle of the pack in terms of all the 50 states. And so the issues here are a lot worse than a number of other states in terms of fiscal support. That's Bill. And in terms of Steve gave me some really, really good advice that my provost needed to be my best friend, and I really needed to embrace.
As President Leith at Iowa State.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Let me ask you, let's go back to that forum when you first were being interviewed. You made the statement, and I wrote it down. You said, maybe tongue-in-cheek, but you said universities have become country clubs with homework.
Yes.
And you probably can explain what you meant by that, but how, if you employ that, and that critique to the University of Iowa, how will the University of Iowa be different when you leave?
Well, so here's the, and I did say that tongue-in-cheek, but I also will own up to it because I think there's an element of truth in it. I started forming that. I have four kids, and they all went to classic liberal arts college, and I watched them as they went through the process.
particularly on campus, trying to decide which school to go to. And it turns out there was a lot more conversation about their climbing walls and a lot more about the sushi and the food courts and the swimming pools in one case. And so I started saying, this is more like a country club. But the underlying point is there is such an intense rivalry. Here we go again, in terms of competition, but we can talk about community colleges, but the core between the Big Ten schools and the other major public research institutions is such a fight for students and top faculty.
So what do you do, ramp up the amenities?
That's what's been happening.
Are you going to do it?
I am going to take a close look at what's really necessary. And, there's a lot of work that we need to do, but I think we have to find the balance. If that takes the recruiting of faculty and or students creates a suction of resources away from the faculty and making sure the quality of what we're doing suffers, then we have to reevaluate this. And I am concerned across the country that the balance may be a little out of whack. I'm not so sure it's out of whack yet in Iowa. Stay tuned as I continue to go through that. I think we may be a lot better off than my comments suggested at that point, but I'm not through that analysis yet.
In your role as university president, you've agreed to co-chair a vision strategy proposed by economic development groups in eastern Iowa. And what is your vision for the university's role in economic development? And I guess given everything else on your plate, do you have time to do this?
I think it's a very good question, James, because I actually watch and counsel other colleagues of mine in other parts of the world that when they take jobs like this, they should be careful not to go on too many external things because they end up siphoning resources, their own personal resources, away from the job at hand. My job is clearly on campus, University of Iowa. And now, having said that, you can't escape the fact that we're a major factor in the local economy in Johnson County. And around, by the way, you can't escape the fact, and we should be proudly participating in the economic development for the entire state. So I have chosen, there's this notion that between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, that maybe we can do more and to attract industry, support industry. And by the way, if we can do that, then maybe we can also, within University of Iowa, figure out what we need to do to train people to be in that environment. So maybe there's a interrelationship and interplay. It's also my attempt to, and you won't see me do much more of this, but in this particular case, I think it's really close to home. I think it's also something that could link to getting better at what we do on campus in terms of our courses and all the rest. And I'm also just trying to meet the community.
How do you leverage the University of Iowa, a big business on campus, the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics, in that economic development and as a business generator in Iowa?
Well, it's already happened.
But can you do more?
Of course we can do more. I started this morning at 6:30 with five faculty colleagues at the Hamburg Inn when no one else was there, talking about the issue of funding research and stimulating new business growth and IPOs and startups. So I think we have a lot. There's been some done. We've got several pretty good-sized companies that are up in the Coralville, up in the beginning part of that corridor. Can we do more? Absolutely more. The key to that is, I think, actually providing a support infrastructure for those companies. Every company that starts, has real important legal needs, real important intellectual property needs, has real important and often uncertain leadership needs. We've got those skills and those capabilities in this campus. How do we package them and provide them as support services for startups? And I know Dan Reed in our Department of Research and Economic Development has done some of that. I think we can do more.
Kate? You have spent time at IBM, Kraft, Boston Market. What are the similarities between those institutions and the one you now lead?
They all had to find their future and went through a process trying to not only a leader finding it, like myself, but actually a community. And so it required a dialogue. We went through that over and over again. But then the second piece, and that was probably the first third of my career, the second third of my career has been doing that, which frankly I think is much easier than the next piece, which is turning it into organizational action. Because you actually need to shift all of the practices, policies, procedures, and culture that we talked about earlier to be in support of the future, not the past. And That's what I've been doing all my life, and here we are again. In this particular case, the institution, it'll be trickier, I should say, because with IBM, it was a disaster. when I walked in, or all of us walked in a team. And so when you have a disaster, it really focuses the mind. On the other hand, we're a pretty solid institution. I just gave you some data that says we have some areas for improvement. But I've got to create the need here through this dialogue process for everyone to understand what the future might look like if we did certain things. And that's going to be a little trickier, I think, in this case.
In the private sector, in those jobs, shareholders and the board of directors determined the CEO's tenure. And in this job, the regents and the governor will determine how long you stay. But I'm wondering, how much time will it take for you to accomplish what you think needs to be done at the University of Iowa to reach the benchmarks you've set for yourself and the university?
I think we should be well into it. I think I need to go through the next several months of learning. As I said the other day, I'm a sponge right now, listening, learning. Then I need to start forming a coalition of people who really might see the future. Then we need to coalesce and get the broader community involved. I think that'll take a year. Then we need to start really, really... By the way, we can do some of this simultaneously. I already know that we need to do something on faculty salaries, hence the vitality, $4.5 million. So we can work on some of this together. In year two, there will be a lot more momentum, a lot more hopefully positive. We're starting to feel like we can get back to our roots. And our roots, I think, are core. I don't think we should distance ourselves from our past. I actually think we should be, doggone proud of our past. Rather than sort of right now, we're a little bit ashamed of it, and it's like we've been beaten down a little bit. I think we need to come out of it. So I would say, the first year is important. In the second year, you start seeing a lot more momentum.
Have you figured out how to take credit for the Hawkeye football team's so far undefeated season?
No, nor should I. I was joking that at least they should let me call the first play and the last play of every game. And because I don't think it would make much difference, but there's no way they should let me do that. And I'm just so happy. I heard one of our former players came back weekends ago, before a game. We had a tailgater, and he talked to us and said, at that particular point in time, we were 7-0. And he said, the real issue here is now not getting to 8-0, it's getting to 1-0. And it's game by game. And I think that's really good advice.
We're at 0 right now. It's 0. We're out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. I appreciate it.
I'm Dean Borg, and thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
I'm a veteran.
I'm a builder.
I'm a volunteer.
I am a teacher.
I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network. ICN's Broadband Matters campaign advocates for access to high-speed broadband in all corners of Iowa for education, public safety, health care, government, and economic development. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com.
Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
The Arlene McKeever Endowment Fund at the Iowa Public Television Foundation. A fund established to support local programming on Iowa Public Television.